Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is the 23rd of March. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C., headquarters of American Free Press. Check it out on the internet at AmericanFreePress.net. Have a little bit of a congestion here this evening, ladies and gentlemen, this change of weather and it's these allergies out there, but I am very much alive. I'm going to be joined by a guest this evening. He's been a guest on this show, I think, once before, and I really wish I would have him on more often. Gentleman I've known for about 25 years. I think I first met him over the phone in 1983, maybe 1984, 1985. Gotten to know him quite well. I suppose I know him as well as anybody I've known professionally over the last quarter of a century, and he's become a very good friend of mine. We talk on the phone all the time. Unfortunately, I don't get to see him as often as I would like. His name is Van Lohman. He's from Cincinnati, Ohio. Now, Van is a very interesting guy, and he'll be the first one to tell you right up front that many years ago, back into the late 1970s, still as a relatively young man, he was the Grand Dragon of the Ohio Ku Klux Klan. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Van makes no apologies for that, although I'm sure there are many who want him to apologize for that. But generally, during the past quarter century, he has been involved in quote-unquote right-wing politics, populist politics, nationalist politics. I'm not even sure Van would call himself a white separatist per se. We'll pursue that with him further when we come back. Van's a very articulate guy, very entertaining fellow, whip smart. When he was a guest on this show before, he told us about his very unusual experiences with a gentleman by the name of Jim Harris, who was kind of Van's father figure when he was growing up in the Cincinnati area. That's how Van got introduced to the Ku Klux Klan, because his father figure, Jim Harris, was in fact the Ohio Grand Dragon of the Ku Klux Klan, but he was much more than that. Van didn't know it at the time, but he subsequently discovered it. The old man, as he called Jim Harris, was also a very high-level informant inside the FBI, inside the Ku Klux Klan for the FBI, and over the years was also involved in a lot of CIA-related intrigue involving the fight against Fidel Castro. And it probably goes a lot higher and a lot deeper than that. Van has just finished a very fascinating book that he's been working on for a few years. It hasn't been published yet, so we won't get into too much detail about that tonight. But it's a very interesting book that draws a lot of the intersecting elements relating to the assassinations of John F. Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and the assassination attempt on Larry Flint, the publisher of Hustler magazine. And incidentally, Larry Flint is out of Cincinnati, Ohio. So needless to say, Van has known a lot of very interesting people and done a lot of very interesting things, and is just generally someone very interesting to talk to. I recall the last time I had him on this program that his presentation drew a lot of interest. I might add further that on an annual basis, Van is one of the featured, quote-unquote, extremist speakers at the Worthington High School in Columbus, Ohio, and he's invariably perhaps the most popular speaker of all to the honor students in that political science course at the high school, who have, I would say, the pleasure of hearing what Van has to say. Anyway, we're going to bring Van up when we come back, and I'm going to tell Van and you, the listeners, a story, subject that will be interest to all of you, including Van, and we'll just proceed from there. Stay tuned, folks.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and, in some instances, your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
They say 50 is the new 40. I like that idea. But it won't change the facts about prostate health. At my age, you have to understand what the prostate affects. Urine flow, intimacy, sleeping habits, overall quality of life. So if you're like me and you want to give your body nutritional support for a healthy prostate, then take what I take. All natural beta prostate. Now, many men try Saw Palmetto, but Beta Prostate has hundreds of times more healthy plant sterols. In Europe, doctors prescribe plant sterols for prostate support, but here you can get them in non-prescription Beta Prostate. This is targeted nutrition, and it works with your body. So why wouldn't you take this amazing nutrient? Here's a number you can call to try Beta Prostate risk-free. Call 800-362-5848. Your satisfaction is guaranteed or you get your money back. 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848.
Toxic heavy metals. They're in the air we breathe, water we drink, our food, products we use, objects we touch, and they negatively impact our health by building up within the body over time. But now, toxic metals can be mobilized in a safe, effective manner with Chelarex from scienceformulas.com. Chelarex is an oral chelator developed from Dr. Alan Greenberg's clinical experience with heavy metal poisoning during his 25 years of medical practice. Chelarex contains absolutely zero synthetic chelation agents, which frequently cause adverse side effects. Chelarex contains all natural ingredients that enhance the body's natural mechanisms for excreting heavy metals and protects against reabsorption. Chelarex effectively mobilizes mercury, aluminum, lead, and 15 other heavy metals. Try Chelarex now from scienceformulas.com with this RBN special offer. Purchase two bottles, get one free with free shipping. Limited time offer. Go to scienceformulas.com. That's scienceformulas.com. Chelarex, chelation of toxic heavy metals the way nature intended.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to RepublicBroadcasting.org. Michael Collins Piper here. We have got Van Lohman with us. Van, did you hear that, I guess, glowing introduction?
Well, can you hear me, by the way?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I wanted to open by saying that that was quite an introduction. I don't know how in the hell you expect me to live up to it. but I also wanted to take just a real couple of seconds here to congratulate you for the program that you have been kind enough to expose to the American people, and for the fine work that you're doing. And I also want to congratulate John Stadmiller for his vision and of RBN. RBN, I believe, is probably one of the most important network radio networks, if you want to call it that. Of course, I realize it's on the internet, but it's one of the most important radio networks that's hit the road since the Model T Ford. I guarantee you that.
Well, I certainly appreciate that. I know John does too. You know, I have to say, I mean, before we get into this mutual admiration, I do want to just say for the record here, ladies and gentlemen, that Van has been a real brick, and throughout the time that I was working on Final Judgment, I relied, my book on the Kennedy assassination, I relied a great deal on Van as a sounding board, and Van was the one person, other than Willis Cardo, and I have to say Willis Cardo and Van Lohman both told me at the time I was working on the book that it would take a while for my thesis regarding final judgment, that is, the idea that Israel was involved in the Kennedy assassination, that it would take a long time for it to kind of gel, for it to set in place. And I believed it because I knew when I heard it from Van and from Willis that these were two guys who knew what they were talking about. Now, Van, I told this story that I'm going to tell you and our guest, Mark Glenn, earlier this afternoon on the telephone, and it says a lot about a lot of things, and I don't want to put too much emphasis on it, but it's just kind of an interesting story.
Yeah.
And it does relate to final judgment. As I told our listeners here last week in the program, I had occasion to pick up an 8-disc video set, DVD set from, the Simon Wiesenthal Center.
Mm-hmm.
And they have 8 different DVDs about various tales relating to the Holocaust, and one of them is entitled Unlikely Heroes. And this one video has this has profiles of about 6 or 7 different men and women, all of them Jewish, I do believe, if I recall correctly, who played a part in rescuing Jews and making sure that they did not end up in the concentration camps where so many people did indeed perish due to starvation and typhus and other diseases that ran rampant. That having been said, one of the personalities profiled was a guy named Pincus Rosenbaum. Now, the name Pincus is spelled P-I-N-C-H-A-S. And they started off, and I'm saying to myself, wait a minute, this story sounds familiar. Well, no sooner did I take a look at the gentleman's picture and listen to the elements of the story than I realized that this guy, Pincus Rosenbaum, they were talking about, was none other than Rabbi Tibor Pincus Rosenbaum. Now, anybody who has read Final Judgment, as you certainly have, knows that Tibor Rosenbaum was not just a rabbi, he was also a very powerful, this was after his experiences in World War II, he rose to not only become a major arms procurer and financier for the Mossad in Israel, but he set up a Swiss bank in Geneva called the International Credit Bank, the Banque de Crédit International.
Right.
And it was through this bank that there was money laundering and other intrigues going on that were related to the Permandex Corporation, on whose board of directors Clay Shaw of New Orleans sat for several years during the period surrounding the Kennedy assassination. And, of course, as those who've seen the film JFK by Oliver Stone know, it's pretty clear that Clay Shaw was indeed immersed in the circumstances surrounding the Kennedy assassination. Well, lo and behold, here is Pincus Rosenbaum being profiled. Now, what made it very, very interesting was that after they described Rabbi Rosenbaum's activities in World War II, they came back later in the video and then started talking about his post-World War II career. They mentioned absolutely nothing about his relationship to Israel and the Mossad. Rather, they talked about his family life. They talked about the fact that he died at a relatively young age, and that he became very prominent in banking in Switzerland. Now, what they did not mention is that his international credit bank, this is where it gets interesting, what they didn't mention, they didn't mention the fact that his international credit bank was not only a Mossad money laundering operation, but it was also intricately connected to the Meyer-Lansky crime syndicate here on American shores, with its tentacles reaching into the drug-dealing operations of the of both the Corsican and Sicilian mafias in the Mediterranean. These little portions were forgotten. They were not mentioned, although they are mentioned in many, many places, in many, many mainstream books. They further did not mention that Mr. Rosenbaum's bank went belly up and that he was believed to have absconded with lots and lots of money to the point that it was considered a national crisis for the state of Israel.
Well, you know, there's so many things that I could say about what you've just said, but let me get to a kind of a minor point. Most people that are serious in the research of assassinations understand that when these things happen, they come about from different levels. The level that you were just referring to with the rabbi there was probably one of the highest levels. One of the lowest levels would be at the level of the actual shooters, including Jack Ruby.
Exactly.
And if you study the history of Jack Ruby, you will find that he, well, I'm sure you know this, but perhaps your audience doesn't, that he was a great deal more than some little sleazy Jewish guy running a night joint.
That's exactly right.
And his connections to the Mossad and to Jewish hierarchy is quite evident once you actually begin to research the background of Jack Ruby.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting talking about Tibor Rosenbaum. You know, and another point I want to make, what's interesting is the fact that this Rosenbaum is generally known as Tibor Rosenbaum in all the writings about organized crime, the Lansky connection, Israeli operations. But obviously the Simon Wiesenthal Center didn't want to name him by the name that he's most commonly known, so they called him Pincus Rosenbaum.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting. So obviously they didn't want people to know that they were glorifying an international mobster. But yeah, but it's interesting considering the fact that you're from the environs of Cincinnati, Ohio, and Newport, Kentucky, and that region. And Newport, Kentucky, a lot of people are not aware of, was a major outpost for the Lansky crime syndicate. And it's very, very interesting. One of the people involved with Pincus Rosenbaum through the Permandex operation was a character out of Newport, Kentucky, by the name of Edward Levinson.
Oh, we've all heard of Eddie Levinson.
His brother
was Sleep Out Louie.
That name and his relatives appear prominently in the book that you have written, which is yet to be published, but which hopefully will be published very soon. So the point being that these international connections, I mean, you hear about this guy who's a Holocaust hero, who's a Swiss banker, you know, your immediate reaction is, well, what does that have to do with JFK, or what does that have to do with Newport, Kentucky, or what does that have to do with Jack Ruby? Well, it's actually, as I always say, one very tightly knit happy family, rather one very small, tightly knit happy family, rather than one big happy family.
Well, it certainly is, and some of the amateurs out there may not understand what an important guy Sam Levinson was, and they may not also understand how highly connected he was to the Jewish power force in the United States.
Well, in fact, yeah. Well, now you said Sam Levinson. You mean Eddie Levinson, and of course his brother Louie. Sam Levinson,
well,
I think, was actually a famous Hollywood producer. But you know, it's kind of interesting, Van. Ed Levinson was also very closely connected to President Lyndon B. Johnson through Johnson's bag man, Bobby Baker.
Oh.
Yeah,
we have
certain internet radio patriot broadcasters who want to blame Lyndon Johnson exclusively for the Kennedy assassination, but they seem to avoid getting into these connections like Bobby Baker and the Levinson brothers and Morris Dollitz and Meyer Lansky and Rabbi Rosenbaum and the whole
tight-knit group. And what was that guy's name? I can't think of his damn name. Was Prime Minister of Israel.
Menachem Begin.
Well, Menachem Begin, exactly.
Yeah, when Begin was running around here in the United States back in the 1940s raising money for the Israeli cause and well into the 1950s and 60s, he was trafficking with organized crime. Well, enough of that for the time being. We are going to the break here, Van. We'll get on to some current events when we come back. We'll be right back.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Pain. It's a warning signal to the body, the same as that warning buzzer is to your car. They both are signals that you have trouble that needs attention. Cutting the wire to the warning sound sure doesn't fix the problem of the car, and taking a pill to numb the brain to kill the pain sure doesn't fix the problem of the body either. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired all the time, try Lee's Fountain of Youth. Be clean, healthy, happy, and young. Call 740-783-0021 today. The Lord didn't make the body to have pain. That is just a warning signal to get your attention that the body has a problem and you need to fix it, not take a pill to numb the brain. Lee's Fountain of Youth works with Mother Nature to clean the body and jumpstart your circulation to heal your cells. The Fountain of Youth is the only thing in the world with the same universal electrical energy as the body, and just 2 hours in the fountain will pull the heavy metal toxins out. Visit leesfountainofyouth.com or call to ask about your free visit to Lee's Fountain of Youth, 740-783-0021. That's 740-783-0021.
Let's go to the heart of the matter. Life Change Tea has had some commercials that are not appealing to those who live in denial. Maybe we are to believe there are no parasites in the world, and that having a clogged colon is good for you. That being overweight is absolutely healthy. That there are no unhealthy chemicals in the air. And last but not least, fluoride in your water is good for you. Not. Get the tea. Change your body and life from unhealthy to healthy. Order online at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Or order online at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Life Change Tea, the tea that changes how you feel.
All right, folks, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here with our special guest, Van Lohman. You know, Van, I mentioned at the outset that you had been involved. Well, you were the Grand Dragon of the Ohio Ku Klux Klan back in the, what year was that, Van?
I resigned in 1985.
Okay, so up to about 1985. Now, it's kind of interesting, and I'm going to bring this full circle, bring it up to date here, but when you ran for the Cincinnati City Council in the mid-1980s, you were actually endorsed by James Meredith, the African-American gentleman who, as a young man, attempted to be the first black admitted to the university, I believe. I think it was the University of Mississippi.
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah.
James Meredith had somehow migrated into the city of Cincinnati and obtained a guest professorship at the University of Cincinnati. And he became very active in local political affairs and launched a campaign in 1985 to become, I believe, Secretary of Education for the state of Ohio. I forget exactly what his objective was. But in any event, we would appear together in community town meetings and things like that throughout the campaign. And as much as when I was a kid, during the crisis of Ole Miss, I think it was in 1961, remembering it very well, it's almost unbelievable to me to have known James Meredith. As amazed as I was watching all this on television just a few short years earlier. But in any event, James Meredith is typical of many, many other black Americans today, who, first of all, realized they'd been getting the short end of the stick, not from the white community, but from the financial powers and Jewish interests in this country. And I think we're approaching a point now where people like James Meredith and I and other black leaders in this country can sit down and look for some real solutions to our problems.
Well, you know, Van, that's why I was kind of segueing into the next, well, it's not the next topic, it's certainly related. Back during the 2008 presidential campaign, you told me privately, and I don't think you ever made any comments publicly, but you told me and others privately, and I don't think this is any great revelation in any respect, but that you were actually considering endorsing Barack Obama for president.
Yeah.
So and I have a two-pronged question here for the benefit of the audience. Number one, why were you thinking in that direction? I mean, that I'm sure shocks a lot of people. My God, the former Grand Dragon of the Ohio Klan endorsing Barack Obama, number one. And number two, now that he is president, what's your sense of things?
Well, first of all, to answer your first question, is that at that particular time, I believe that, as much as I may not like it, the idea of a black president has probably come, giving voter statistics across the country and all that sort of thing, and that we may not have any other choice but to accept one. And in that case, Barack Obama might be our best bet, that perhaps he's the kind of guy that would have enough common sense to maybe move this country in the right direction. Unfortunately, well, first of all, I did not make that endorsement, and in a way, I'm kind of glad I didn't. Not that I've changed my mind so much about his potential, but I have to say recently, and there are pluses and minuses, but recently he's coming under some considerable and important attacks from all corners of the United States, and I'm not so sure that he doesn't deserve some of them.
Oh, that's fair enough. I mean, it's I think as I have pointed out, I mean, it's not a revelation here. He's only been president now for about 2 months.
Right, and that's important to remember that.
Yeah, I mean, it's I frankly don't know what to make of his economic programs. I keep hearing that they're socialist and that we're on the verge of having a communist police state. But, you know, they said the same thing about Bill Clinton president.
The one thing about Barack Obama, I mean, this guy is in a very, very, very difficult spot. I wonder if he actually realized what kind of spot he was fixing to put himself in when he became president of the United States. But he's making a lot of enemies right now. And just like John Kennedy did in 1961 with regard to this oil depletion allowance, he made a lot of very, very rich people, very well-connected people, pretty angry because they lost a lot of money. And Barack Obama's doing the same thing right now at his own risk, I should say. But then on the other hand, there are things that you're done. You know, I was impressed with one thing, his appointment of this Mr. Freeman to this intelligence committee. And even though Freeman has now withdrawn his nomination, and I'm sure you're familiar with the story.
Oh, yeah.
One has to wonder whether or not Barack Obama was too stupid to realize what would happen if he nominated that gentleman. Or perhaps that's precisely why he nominated him, so that the people of the United States could see just how much power the American Zionist people have.
Yeah, it's a, as I've said, to repeat myself, you know, it will all remain to be seen. That's the, it's really too early, and, it's only been a couple months.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you what, Van, we are going to the half-hour break here in just a minute. And I want to prep you with a question. What do you see as the future of the Republican Party, if there is a future for the Republican Party? In the same token, do you think there's a future for third parties in America? And you certainly have had your experiences in the third party movement. So when we come back, let's talk about that, Van.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth. Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system with proven and guaranteed results for over 15 years? Would you like to stop any mortgage foreclosure and have a written guarantee that would make most attorneys scream? Hi, I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My Zero Debt Expert System has helped tens of thousands of people.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees, and I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, John, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
And you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors or pay a percentage of your debt. Call my experts today at 800-477-9256 and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Newsflash. Unemployment is soaring over 10%. The dollar is plummeting, and banks are beginning to close their doors. Financial experts are saying we are headed for an economic depression.
Depression.
Depression. The world is on the brink of total meltdown. Unless you expect the government to bail you out, you must be able to grow your own healthy food. Newsflash. SurvivalistSeeds.com has just released a brand new heirloom seed pack at a dramatically reduced price.
Dramatically reduced.
So you and your family have a long-term food solution.
Solution.
Solution. The choice between starvation and freedom is made by you
right now.
Right now. Go to SurvivalistSeeds.com. That's SurvivalistSeeds.com. Because you are almost out of time.
Time.
SurvivalistSeeds.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
All right, folks, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here at republicbroadcasting.org. We have Van Lohman as our special guest. In a moment, and I'm sure Van won't object to this, I'm going to give out Van's email address, so get your pen and paper handy if you want to write Van Lohman. Van, I asked you a question before the break about the future of the Republican Party, if there is any, and what do you see as the future for any third-party movements in America?
Well, I'm certainly the Republican Party is going to survive in some form for some time, just as the Whigs did. you know, they're not going to go away overnight. But I think it's time for a completely new configuration of the political stars in this country. I'm not sure of exactly how that's going to have to happen, but it certainly will happen. And one of the ways in which it might happen could be the development of a new third party. As you know, I began my involvement with third parties in 1967 working with George Wallace. And everybody knows that we have experienced some serious failures since that time with Wallace, with John Schmitz, with Lester Maddox, Bo Greitz, David Duke, you mention them. We've tried them all, and so far we have been unsuccessful. But the times have changed, and we are in a condition of such economic and political and social chaos in this country that there could very well be an opportunity here to act politically.
what was your impression of the Ron Paul movement?
It was nice to listen to. I don't think it was nearly as aggressive as it should have been. Everybody knew that Ron Paul, of course, we've always known that our third-party candidates wouldn't win, but or at least we've always suspected they wouldn't. But, I mean, you know, it was a nice campaign. I think it brought a lot of attention to some of the issues that people need to know about, and I'm sure Ron Paul's a great fellow. I don't have any arguments with him whatsoever. I think he's done the country a great service, but you're looking at a population demographic right now and a voter demographic that is 30 to 40, maybe 45 years old. Very difficult for a man Ron Paul's age to appeal to that demographic, and that's the demographic we're going to have to appeal to.
Yeah, and it's, you know, Ron Paul apparently at this point is pretty much wedded to the Republican Party. I think that's a mistake myself. I think he should have taken his movement out of the Republican Party and started an attempt to build a third party movement. That's one of the criticisms many people had for George Wallace.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing.
Yeah, I, as I say, I don't know if Ron Paul is going to be able to keep his movement alive for the next 4 years and translate it into the money that he certainly raised the last time.
Well, I mean, you got to look at the evolution of his movement in the same way we look at the evolution of the Populist Party. The Populist Party, when was that first convention there in Nashville? What year was that?
Oh, the modern-day incarnation. That was in 1984.
1984. The Populist Party, as we knew it then, does not exist anymore. But the Populist Party, its philosophy, its understanding, and its general concern for the future of this country, its patriotism, its nationalism, and all that sort of thing, has spread far beyond any influence the party itself could have ever had.
Not to mention the, you know, even the Washington, New York Times, I think it was today, pointed out that there is this growing populist movement in opposition to the big banks and the financial interests that could very well prove to be a major political factor in the next round of congressional elections. And it's kind of interesting because in many respects that was the foundation of that populist party that we were so involved with back in 84 and 88 and 92 and then I guess up to about 1996 roughly.
Yeah, so, but the one thing that I think is very, very critically important for people to consider is, especially if you think of yourself as a conservative Republican, and that is, after having said all those things we've just now said, one of Rush Limbaugh's favorite enemies is populism. So that ought to tell people a little something.
Oh, exactly. I mean, yeah, as long as the Republican Party remains wedded to the big banks and the insurance companies and the medical industry and, you know, the whole gamut of big money power, the Republican Party is never going to offer an alternative. And to the extent that the Democratic Party offers an alternative, they too themselves are captured by these same elites. So I guess what we're leading up to is the idea that the foundation is there for a real populist third party movement, one that breaks the old shackles of left and right and really unites the broad population of the country, really people of all races, creeds and colors, against the international elite. Whether it'll happen, that's another story altogether.
Well, yeah,
man, I want to give your email address out here.
Okay.
It's V as in victory, Lohman, L-O-M-A-N, V Lohman at Juno.com, and that's J-U-N-O, J-U-N-O.com, V Lohman, V as in van, V as in Victor, Lohman, L-O-M-A-N, at Juno.com, J-U-N-O.com. Well, Van, we have a caller on the line, Jim from California. I'd like to go ahead and bring him up and see what
he has to say. Go right ahead.
Go, yeah, Jim from California, come on up.
Hello, gentlemen, how are you?
What's going on, Jim?
not much. I have a maybe not pertinent exactly to what you were talking about. It's related to Jewish names.
Okay, go ahead.
And people seem to think, at least in the United States, that when they hear a last name that has a Berg or a Stein or a Baum in it, they assume the it's ridiculous.
Jim, we lost you part of a second there. I think you were saying, though, that I guess you were saying those names that end in Baum and Stein and Berg are not necessarily Jewish.
Mike, let me interrupt. We got some interference here on the line.
Hello?
Wonder who it might be.
Let me see here if there's something going on with my phone. No? Seems okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So if you look at immigration patterns, say, between 1870 and 1924, which was, you know, that landmark bill when it sort of ended immigration again until 1965, and you look at the immigration numbers from countries like Germany, Austria, Switzerland, even a lot of the Scandinavian countries. And then when you look at the 1900 census per the Jewish encyclopedia, and in 1900, according to the Jewish encyclopedia, only 7% of Germans were Jewish, 9% of Austrians were Jewish, 4% of Swiss were Jewish, and the numbers are kind of consistent all around Western Europe like that. So you have this massive inpouring of Germans, Austrians, Swiss, all with German-sounding last names, into the United States between 1870 and 1924.
Right.
And yet only a small percentage of them were Jewish. So what I'm saying is, like, my last name is Berman.
Okay.
And people think, oh, he's Jewish. And I'm like, no, I'm not. And my mother's last name is Schoenfeld. Also, nobody's Jewish in my family. My
Very
grandfather did genealogical studies going back at least to the late 1790s, and it's all Catholic all the way down. I mean, from what he could, you know, and obviously he doesn't know every detail, but there isn't any,
Mike,
no one's Jewish. And the other names are Nate Solt and Ullman in my family.
Okay.
Nobody's Jewish. And if you go to states,
hello,
ethnic descended people, and yet they have tiny Jewish populations. So my point is that when you hear a name of an American with a Berg or a Stein or a Baum, the chances are very good that they are not Jewish.
No, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. You know, it's funny. I see names in a Washington Post obituaries all the time. That my immediate thought is that they're Jewish, and then I look and they're having Catholic services or Presbyterian services, and that's very, very true. And I've been told by German friends that the name Goldberg in Germany, more often than not, I shouldn't say more often than not, but very, very frequently, is a German name. And and the people were never Jewish at all. So, no, you're absolutely right about that, Jim.
Right. And in Hollywood, I think there's this rumor, sort of, I would say it's more than a rumor. It's kind of a common knowledge. When you have a young aspiring actor who comes to L.A. and they want to be a star and they have a Germanic-sounding last name, they'll just lie and say, yeah, I'm Jewish, but I'm non-practicing. And who's going to know? Because then they get in with the tribe, right?
That's right.
And then, mm-hmm. and you know, and maybe they'll learn a few little things about Jewish culture and, you know, to try to make it, to present a cover, right? And then it probably helps their career, I would think.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right.
But they're just liars, you know, because again, 7% of Germany in 1900, according to the Jewish Encyclopedia, was Jewish. And yet we see huge millions of Germans and Austrians and Swiss immigrating to the United States. So, you know, even if there was a higher proportion of Jews who immigrated to the United States, let's say double it, 14%, then you still have 86% who are not Jewish with Germanic sounding last names.
That's right.
Is that a decent analysis, do you think?
I think so. Van, do you have a comment on that?
Well, yeah. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
I thought I might have gotten disconnected. Actually, I have to play devil's advocate here. This caller has attempted to advance an argument saying that there's not as many Jews as we might think there are. And I'm wondering, and I, with all due respect, might his bottom line agenda be to diminish what we see as the threat of Jewish power in this country by suggesting that there are nowhere near as many of them as we think they are.
So, Jim, do you have a comment on that?
No, my agenda is just to outline what I've, because I've always been asked, are you Jewish? Are you Jewish? No, I'm not. So it got me thinking about this. I think there's a lot of people who have Germanic-sounding names who lie and say they're Jewish to advance their careers in banking and entertainment and so
forth.
But
you're not answering my my question.
Okay. Rephrase your question, please.
Are you suggesting that the number of Jews here in the United States is so minuscule that our apprehensions about their machinations are unjustified?
No, their numbers are about 2% or somewhere in that area, and that it's a small number, but they wield immense power.
Amen. Okay, we're on the same page now.
Yeah.
I'm pretty much aligned with Michael Piper on almost 85% of his views.
Well, that's good enough for me.
You have to understand.
For a lot of people. Jim, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Very interesting point.
Bye.
All right, we have Dave in Missouri. Dave, come on up.
Taking and entertaining.
Am I in step with the radio now?
You're on the radio.
Okay. I love your show tonight, and your guest is super interesting with the history going back to having known George Wallace. I'm looking at a website now called the America First Party.
Right.
And we have a Missouri America branch of it. And I have not done my research on it. But their platform begins with America First, a nationalist viewpoint. And the Democrats and Republicans agreed years and years and years ago that they were internationalists.
That's right.
In outlook. And I'm getting 60 years old or so, and I've looked at people saying, oh, I always vote Democrat, always vote Republican. And, you know, they got mad. They'll kick them out. Somebody can't run for a second term. All these dynamics and so forth. But they're internationalists.
Well, that's right.
It doesn't matter. There's something to distract us. And these American First now, they got enough people to stay on the ballot in Missouri this last election. And they had a few candidates for a few state offices and so forth. But I'm just congratulating you guys for addressing third parties. And the America First, now there's some third parties that I'm suspicious of. So, just thanks for bringing it up. And what we need next time we get to vote is to start looking for people.
If somebody belongs to
the CFR, they cannot uphold their oath of office that they take as a representative or senator or so forth to support the Constitution, because they are actually bound by a higher oath that is internationalist.
Internationalist, you got it. I will say this much, Dave. We're going to the break here in a second, but I will say this much, that I have friends who've been involved in the third-party movement. They are not too enthused by the America First Party, despite its rhetoric. So I've come to the conclusion that despite its name and despite its rhetoric, that particular America First Party does leave a lot to be desired. Okay, well, listen, Dave, thanks for your call. Appreciate your comments, and you're right on the mark. Stay tuned. We have Byron from Canada. Good man here. Byron from Canada when we come back. Remember, Van Loman's email address is vloman, L-O-M-A-N, vloman at juno.com, J-U-N-O.com. Van will be glad to hear from you.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
They say 50 is the new 40. I like that idea. But it won't change the facts about prostate health. At my age, you have to understand what the prostate affects. Urine flow, intimacy, sleeping habits, overall quality of life. So if you're like me and you want to give your body nutritional support for a healthy prostate, then take what I take. All natural beta prostate. Now, many men try Saw Palmetto, but Beta Prostate has hundreds of times more healthy plant sterols. In Europe, doctors prescribe plant sterols for prostate support, but here you can get them in non-prescription Beta Prostate. This is targeted nutrition, and it works with your body. So why wouldn't you take this amazing nutrient? Here's a number you can call to try Beta Prostate risk-free. Call 800-362-5848. Your satisfaction is guaranteed or you get your money back. 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to libertystickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's libertystickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. Sorry for my late arrival. We have enough time for one quick question from Byron from Canada. Byron, go ahead.
Hey, Mike. Great show. I'll be real quick. There's only two disappointments I have in your show. One is that you're not on for 2 hours. Second one is that I wish RBN had enough money to pay you guys a salary. you know, that takes a real dedication and I think a real American that will take this much time to put a show on like you and Mark Glim does every week, every night for you without pay.
Well, I appreciate that.
My question is this, Mike. What's going on in the United States right now, how does this compare with the, you know, and I think everybody knows that the control that the Jews have over the United States in the banking, in the media, in Hollywood, anything that controls our lives, how does that compare to what the Jews had control over Germany, you know, before Adolf Hitler came
in? It's even stronger. Van, what do you have to say about that?
Yeah, I agree. The depth of depravity and cultural rot that has been induced by their influence is worse than has ever been seen in the history of the world.
Yeah, well, this is, even Professor Norman Cantor in his book, The Sacred Chain, said that Jewish power in America 15 years ago was greater than it was ever even in Weimar Germany. So, that is something that I think ties directly into the financial whirling dervish that we see on Wall Street right now. And this firm AIG that's been in the news, that's been a Jewish firm. Some of the people who are up front in charge right now are not Jewish, but historically that was a Jewish firm. And just like some of these others, Lehman Brothers, Jewish firm. Bernie Madoff's intrigues. Bernie Madoff was Jewish. I mean, it goes on and on and on. People don't like to hear that fact, those facts expressed, but that is the bottom line. And I think Byron has put his finger on a factor that I think will prove to be the wave of the future, that there will be a serious revulsion against Jewish influence, particularly in the field of money.
Yeah,
and people don't want to talk about it, but it's there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's our worst dreams come true, Mike. I mean, it really is. I mean, it's kind of exciting in some respects, but if people would have listened 40 years ago, which is a pipe dream, I realize that, but people like Willis Cardo and others that you and I have known over the years, We're sending the warning 40, 50 years ago.
Even more than that when it comes right down to it.
Right. But nobody wanted to listen, and we were those evil, racist, anti-Semites.
And now it's time to pay the piper, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. the American people will always get the government that they deserve anyway. So
that's right. All right. Well, Byron, thanks for your call. Van Lohman, thanks as always.
Appreciate your
input on the air and off the air, and we'll do it again real soon.
Okay, buddy.
All right, thanks, Van. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Van Lohman. You can get him at vlohman@juno.com. vlohman@juno.com. Send Van an email. Tell him hello. All right, thanks for listening in, folks. We're wrapping it up. We'll be here tomorrow night, God willing.
With recent